In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello and welcome back to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And what a wonderful day today. Even though here in the Pacific Northwest, it's cold and rainy, par for the course this time of year, but feeling good today. And today, we're talking about an important topic. We talked about this a couple of months before. It's one of the topics that we'll bring back from time to time. Loved ones away from the church. Yes, of all, whenever I travel, no matter where I go, anywhere in the world, the number one issue that people want to ask me about or talk about or pray about is their children who are away from the church. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about why they leave the church, and maybe even have time to talk about why some evangelization programs aren't working, what we need to do to really get our kids to help them to fall in love with Jesus. And of course, you want to share your stories and experiences of things you may have done to keep your kids in the church and things you're doing now to try to help them understand the power of Christ working their lives, help them to cooperate with the grace of the sacraments that they received and are no longer utilizing. The number to call to be part of the show today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You can email beacon@ewtn.com, or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Again, text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. Then text your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Again, we're talking about loved ones away from the church. And today is also kind of a special day within the Easter season. It is the Feast of Saint Mark. That's right. Mark, who's not, of course, not one of the apostles, but one of the four gospel writers. Of course, there were two gospel writers that were not apostles. That was Mark and Luke. But we have Mark's account of the gospel. And Mark bears the witness of Peter. We know that Mark kind of served as a scribe for Peter, the first pope and head of the apostles. We see in Mark, we see Jesus through the eyes of Peter in the writing of Mark. And it was Peter's preaching that really vouches for and stands behind Mark's gospel. And interesting, Mark's gospel was based on Peter's teaching probably while he was in Rome, while he was in the community of Roman Christians, during the experience of the first persecution of the church organized by Rome under the Emperor Nero. And these losses were the first martyrs of the church gave their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because many of them who were eyewitnesses and firsthand accounts of what happened in the life of Jesus were being persecuted and killed, Mark decided to start writing things down, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course, began to record the events in the life and the ministry, especially the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that Peter had been proclaiming. So we want to celebrate St. Mark today. And remember that all of us are called to proclaim and to preach the gospel, to preach the truth of the faith and love, to witness to the power of God's love working in the world, not just by what we say, but how we act and how we live, you know, so that the lived experience has to go along with what comes out of our mouth so that people aren't scandalized by the contradiction that they see. Well, he says one thing, but he lives another way. You know, it has to be both. And the gospels are a real way. In fact, if you want to introduce somebody to Jesus, start with the gospels. You know, sometimes I think we have a tendency to hand someone a Bible and say, well, start from, you know, Genesis and read it like a book. But really what you want to do is get people to know Jesus. So this happened to me once, where a young man came up to me and told me to tell me about Jesus. And so I handed him a Bible and told him to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. start there. Don't worry about Genesis and those other books. Start with getting to know who Jesus is, his story, who he was, to see that he is God, and to begin to understand how he wants to work in your life and give your life over to him. You know, so Mark's gospel is written during a time of, again, suffering and persecution. I think Mark's style of writing the gospel reflects that. And it's very honest gospel as well. Honest in the sense that, for example, the apostles don't appear to be very smart in Mark's gospel. And Peter, I think, even through Mark's gospel, Peter doesn't seem to be to have it all together, you know. And I think that's just honest, you know, showing the humanity of the apostles. They misunderstand Christ a lot more, especially Peter. I think they want to show the humanness in our response to the faith. Sometimes we question, sometimes we falter, sometimes we may stumble, but God is always there to pick us up and keep us moving forward toward him. Mark's gospel, again, is just short because he's writing to people who are being persecuted or are dying, so he wants to get the message out there quickly. So there's a real sense of urgency that's conveyed, not only in his style, but if you look at the Greek, in his vocabulary and the verb tenses that Mark employs, it's a very breathy, quick style. And basically, he's focusing on the not the birth. See, we don't see in Mark, for example, the birth narratives. He just comes out of the box with Jesus coming out of the desert for 40 days and starts proclaiming the gospel. So it's basically the passion narrative with a long introduction. It's basically what Mark's gospel is all about. And so we celebrate Saint Mark today. So you may want to spend some time in the Gospel of Mark, maybe reading one of your favorite parables or favorite sections of Mark's gospel today, and as a way to celebrate. And again, the theme today we're talking about are loved ones away from the church. And maybe one of the ways you want to introduce someone who doesn't know Jesus is to introduce them to Jesus by maybe reading Mark's gospel, recommending Mark's gospel to them today. And I'm excited to talk about this. And we have a great team of people that make this show possible. We have Charles Beery doing social media, Matt Gabinski screening calls, and the producer of producers, Ace McKay. How you doing, Ace?
I'm doing good. You know, I love that we're talking about this because it's a great reminder, too, that our job is not always to see the harvest of telling people about Jesus. Like, a lot of times we are the seed. And it could be through our example, it could be through discussions, it could, you know, just be through a Q&A, I mean, whatever it might be. But I know I grew up in kind of the realm of that, you know, once you start the conversation, in the next, you know, 45 minutes, you have to have made some major decision in your life. It's an amazing grace moment. And then when they don't, they push and they push and they push and they push. And you're like, hey, ho, ho, let's, where'd you go? You know, and it's like, remember that you may just be the seed or you may be the harvest. You never know. But as we have this discussion, I'm curious to hear ideas of how people have been able to introduce people to God or to Jesus, you know, through their own walk.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the critical piece, is to introduce people to Jesus. And basically, you don't start that conversation with dogma.
Right.
You know, unless someone's asking about a specific thing like indulgences or Mary or Eucharist or something like that. But it's about relationship. And sometimes we forget that. Mm-hmm. We forget that the key to the Catholic faith is relationship. Scott Hahn talks about this all the time. Covenant.
Yeah.
Right? Covenant. Intimate, personal, loving, life-giving community. The complete gift of self to another person. That person gives themselves totally, freely, and completely back to you. Right? In a love that's free and faithful and total and fruitful. It's a love of sacrifice and service and self-gift. That's where we start. Because dogma means nothing if you don't have a relationship with Jesus.
Well, and also,
then all that other stuff is just like, it's like academics or something. It doesn't hit you in the heart.
Yeah, and then you also allow yourself to tell your story of your own accountances with Christ and how God has worked in your life, rather than always feeling like you have to, you know, be like, you know, Father Mitch, where you're spouting off stories of every Bible character ever in existence. You know, you don't have to do that. Just tell your story.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's where you start, especially parents talking with their own kids. So excited to talk about this today. We're talking about, again, loved ones away from the church. This is Beacon of Truth. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. The number to call to be part of the program today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Ooh.
You feel that?
Yeah, you see, it's a major. And here. Oh, that half step. Woo, I like that. It's very unexpected.
Yeah.
You see what I did to the mood? I love that.
A sharp or a minor changes it all, doesn't
it? Yes, it does. It does.
It's that goosebump, you know, the one that runs up the back of your neck? It's my favorite.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, especially when it comes unexpected like that.
Yep.
You know, yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, I tell you, this is good stuff. I can't wait till we start talking about the music. That's going to be fun. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And today we're talking about loved ones away from the church. That's right, a topic that is near and dear to many people's hearts. Again, of all the things that people want to talk about at parish missions or conferences or even on pilgrimage, whatever it may be, it's their kids who are away from the church. And we want you to share your experience of what it's been like for you, or maybe what are you doing now? Maybe you're a catechist at a parish, and what are you doing to really instill the love of Christ in your children's hearts? What are you doing now as a parent? Maybe you have younger kids and you understand what's going on in the culture. You're trying to help your kids be countercultural. Maybe you have teenagers at home right now. Maybe your kids are away from the church. And what are you doing right now to help your kids come back? Maybe you're looking for some advice on what to do. We want to hear from you. 833-288-3986. The number to call again. That's 833-288-3986. Or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response and text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And Ace, what kind of great news do you have for us today, my friend?
Pretty excited. Our friends at Vine Mercy Radio ready to celebrate next week for their spring pledge drive. So Tuesday through Friday, if you're in Kansas, so even if you stream them in Great Bend, Hayes, Colby, anywhere, of course, that you can hear EWT and Catholic Radio. Remember, when we are in pledge drive mode, it's always great to be able to hear from you. And again, we look forward to hearing progress and praise reports of what happens next week with Divine Mercy Radio from your friends at EWTN Radio.
All right. Well, it is time for the Psalms. And remember that this segment that we call the Soulful Psalms are now its own podcast. Yes. If you go to EWTN Podcast Central, you can stream the Soulful Psalms segment as its own podcast. Or you can go to Apple or to SoundCloud or one of the other streaming services to get this segment on the Psalms as its own podcast. Well, today we're going to look at Psalm 19a, right? Well, Psalm 19, but it's broken into two parts. We looked at 19b a little while ago. Now we're going to look at 19a, and I saved 19a for today for a couple of reasons. First of all, this is 19a, verses 1 through 7, are always prayed during feasts of apostles, or in today's case, Mark and Luke as well, whose psalms come from the apostles, even though they actually weren't apostles. And this 19a is a psalm that's always recited during the office of matins or the office of readings. So Psalm 19, as we know, is the first book of Psalms, verses 1 through 41, which means it is written by David. And this prescript is very simple. It's the entire first verse for the choir master, a psalm of David. Very simple. So what does this tell us? That David wrote the psalm, and then he gave it to the choir master to put music to it. Okay. Now, some of these psalms, David put music to himself. Others, he allowed the Levitical priests that were assigned as choir masters to put music to his psalm. So this psalm is always used for apostles because it's a very evangelizing nature of the psalm. So let's dive in, starting at verse 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims the work of his hands. All right, so the heavens declare the glory of God. So when we talk about the heavens here, okay, the heavens, basically in Jewish cosmology, they had three heavens. Okay, now when we say heaven, we mean, of course, heaven where God lives, where God resides, okay? When they meant heavens, you had to be clear what they meant. So the first heaven was the sky, right? The clouds and the rain and the sky that we can see, that's the first heaven. Then there was the second heaven, which was the space, the stars, the moon, the sun, you know, so that's the second heaven. And then there was the third heaven, which is where God resides, you know, where we all hope to go after we die is to go to heaven, you know, the place of glorification where all the saints are right now with God. So so they don't specify here which heavens they're talking about, but that's good because I think all the heavens proclaim and declare the glory of God. And the firmament proclaims the work of his hands. So the firmament is what they saw that separated the heavens from each other. Okay, the firmament is what separated the heavens from each other. So it's the firmament that holds back the rain. You know, so the clouds come in and the rain falls, but you know, the firmament is what separates all that. So they're talking about nature itself. Everything that God creates proclaims God's glory. And then verse 3, day unto day conveys the message, and night unto night imparts the knowledge. All right, so it's comparing these days. Now, when it meant days, they're not just talking about 24-hour periods because they didn't count days as 24 hours. Again, remember, because the day started the evening before, right? So that's how we get 3 days of Jesus in the tomb, right? So Friday was the day that he died. Then Friday evening was the start of the next day. That's day 2. Then Saturday evening was the start of the next day. That's 3. That's how we get the 3 days of Jesus dead in the tomb. So they didn't think of it necessarily as a 24-hour period with minutes and seconds and all that kind of stuff. But so they talk about the day unto day. So our life, our eternity conveys the message. So all of God's created reality, including us, are the conveyors of the message, right? Just like the apostles were, just like the evangelists were, the gospel writers. They're imparting God's knowledge. Just as nature imparts God's knowledge, we, as also part of God's created reality, also impart the knowledge of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then verse 4, no speech, no word whose voice goes unheeded. Their sound goes forth through all the earth, their message to the utmost bounds of the world. So no speech, no word whose voice goes unheeded. So the witness of the power of God, of the reality of who God is, of God working in our lives every day, of God desiring intimacy and relationship with us, that message goes out to the farthest corners of the earth. There's not a place that exists in created reality that should not know the power of God. And so that's why the missionaries are so important. You know, those who leave their countries to go to other countries to bring that message of salvation to literally the four corners of the earth. You know, so we're so grateful for those missionaries, those evangelists who leave their home, who leave their country, Oregon, often have to learn another language or even several languages to be able to communicate with the people that they're going to bring that gospel message to. It's beautiful. The message to the utmost bounds of the world. Then verse 6, there he has placed a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom coming from his tent, rejoices like a champion to run its course. All right, so wherever we are, the sun is there. Right, you can't get away from the, well, you can get away from the sun if you go into the shade, but you can't deny the reality of the sun. So the understanding here, I think, looking at it from an allegorical perspective or typological perspective, in other words, looking how this is pointing to Christ, wherever we go, there's no place in the world that exists without the Son of God. Right? Remember Zechariah says in the Benedictus, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, who shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So I think that maybe Zechariah had his mind this psalm. You know, he has placed a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom coming from his tent. So that message of the sun, just like the sun rises and makes its way across the sky, we make our way to the each all the four corners of the earth, or each in our own perspective, in our own sphere of influence, in our own diocese, in our own workplace, in our own families, bringing that message of love and salvation.
You know, and I know for a lot, especially in my own faith, but I've seen and heard from others, you know, when you go into a church or you go into a room with other believers and you pray, you know, Holy Spirit or God, you know, come into this place. And it wasn't until I got older that, like, he's been there all week. We just finally showed up for what he's about to do in that moment and through those conversations or, you know, whatever, whether it's a missions trip or whatever. And I love that because, you know, looking at God's word, you know, he goes to make a way and prepare a place for us. Well, he does that not just in heaven, but here as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, just that awareness, being that constant awareness of God's presence. You know, sometimes I just walk around and just say, thank you, Jesus. Mm. Thank you, Lord. I mean, just walking in my house, just walking, you know, like going from the bedroom to the refrigerator for a drink or going to the bathroom, whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus. Just that constant reminder of being in God's presence. A beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing. And then the psalm continues here and kind of wraps up a little bit in verse 7. At one end of the heavens is the rising of the sun. So they're about the heavens here. So they're looking at the sky and, of course, the sun, which resides in the universe and outer space. And to the furthest end, it runs its course. So it's talking about the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. You know, and the sun rising from the east, the dawn from on high, the sun rises in the east, which is why, you know, the church for many, many years celebrated Mass ad orientem, you know, facing toward the east, toward the rising sun of God, the God who rose from the dead, you know, who's leading us to salvation. So it's not that the priest turns his back to us when he's celebrating ad orientem. He's not turning his back toward us. He's facing the same way as us, leading us to Jesus, leading us in prayer, leading us in sacrifice to God. The priest standing in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, making the sacrifice, and we offering the sacrifice of our lives as well to God. Beautiful. So today we're talking about children who are loved ones who are away from the church. We want to hear from you. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986.
I know, that'll be stuck in your head all day now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like whistling at your wife, you know.
Yeah. love that. Love that. That's awesome. I got some great musical selections, man. That's fantastic. Really enjoying those. Well, you're listening to the Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And today we're talking about loved ones away from the church. Maybe you have a loved one who's away from the church right now, and you're trying your best to try to get them to come back. Maybe you have young kids now, and you're doing some things at home to instill the love of God in their hearts. Maybe you're a parent trying to get your kids to come back. Maybe you have a brother, a sister, a parent that you're trying to work with. You know, we're here for you. We want to hear your story, your experience, maybe some things that you've done to evangelize, and maybe you're just looking for some help. What things could we be doing better? We're talking about that today on Beacon of Truth. The phone number to call to be part of the program today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You can always text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. Then text your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And the show is brought to you by some great folks at EWTN. Matt Gabinski screening calls, Charles Berry doing social media, and Ace McKay behind the boards.
Well, of course, as we get ready for tonight, trying to make sense of what's going on, this being an election year, so why not go to the experts? And we've got a great opportunity tonight with The World Over with Raymond Arroyo. He has Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as a part of it. He's an independent candidate for the President of the United States, so a very exclusive interview talking about the election year, his family, his Catholic faith, and you don't want to miss it. That is happening with The World Over tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on EWTN TV and radio.
All right. So we're talking about loved ones away from the church. The phone number to call today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Jamie has done, calling from Washington, D.C. and listening on Guadalupe Radio. Jamie, thanks for being with us on Beacon of Truth today.
Deacon, Amen. I just want to thank you. As a man, I heard you preach, not in person, but through the airwaves of EWTN in Mass. And then I also heard you, they did a Texas conference in 2017, and you were preaching. And I just want to thank you for speaking. My daughter, my young daughter, she was listening to you, and she says, is he really a deacon? Because the way he speaks is true. And I couldn't help but think it is through God. You are his instrument, and you're doing great work. So I just wanted to thank you first and foremost for that. My observation is, without a relationship, you can't build something. And so oftentimes as parents with cradle Catholics or children who are brought into the church through the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion and confirmation, they're still children. And as their mind grows and the world grows within them, and they find their independence, they do have questions. However, it's more of a reversion, as I know I've gone through in my own life, in my 40s now. And it's not, there's a scripture that says, paraphrasing, God does not look through the eyes as man does. So oftentimes we look at these relationships, and I know me personally, I think I can fix it. And you almost have to let go, let God. So I just want to thank you for that and add one more thing, which is with him in Scripture, or through him in Scripture, with him in relationship, and in him in the Eucharist. Those who are fed, those who are called to evangelize, it is truly about relationships, meeting people where they are, letting go, letting God. Thank you so much for taking the call. God bless, Harold. Please pray for me, and I'm praying for you, brother.
Thank you, Jamie. Great to hear from you. Thank you. It was wonderful, wonderful insight that you brought to the table today. It's so true. God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. It's not our time. This isn't a short-term fix. You know, sometimes God writes straight with crooked lines. You know, God takes you down a path, and he needs you to go there so you can learn something that will help you have even a deeper relationship with him in the future. Look, the prodigal son. The guy goes down to the pig pen. God allowed that. He uses free will to reject God. met with the consequences of his lifestyle choice decisions, and it's in that moment, in his deepest darkness, when he's furthest away from God, that he recognizes the only person that can help him right now is God. So sometimes our prayer has to be to help our loved one away from the church to reach that pig pen, to get to that point where they realize the only person that can help me now is God. Not my parents, not my brother, not my sister, only God. And when they're ready to open their hearts to accept the love and the mercy of God, that's when they'll be more open into listening. You know, and our thing is not to be beat them over the head with dogma, but to be in relationship with them, right? To witness the power of God's love first, and when they want to get to know God better, then we can start with the dogma and why the church teaches what it does. But it has to start relationship. What an excellent point. On YouTube, Michelle, who's listening or watching, says that her sister and brother believe in God, but they don't go to church. You know, that's the case of so many young people today as well. You know, they say they believe in God, but yet they don't go to church. I don't need a religion. I don't need a church. I don't need a bunch of rules or people to tell me how to live my faith or what to believe. You know, I just believe in God. You know, that's not good enough because there's a lot of people who. So look, we can say we believe in God, but it means nothing if we don't live what we believe. It's just an intellectual exercise. You know, we can say we believe all kinds of things, but we have to put our hearts where our words are. You know, we have to put our hearts where our words are. And so what they have to understand is that the church is trying to bring them into a relationship with God. God died on a cross. Jesus died on a cross, not for dogma. He died on the cross to bring us into a relationship of love, communion, intimacy. That's what the Eucharist is about, uniting the body, blood, soul, divinity of the living God with our own bodies, that indwelling, impenetration of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments. That means something. That if I say yes to that, that causes me to live in a certain way that draws me deep into God's heart. You know, that's what relationship is. You know, with my wife, I want to be in her heart. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to get to know her intellectually. I want to be in her heart. I want to be in that beautiful space of life and prayer with her.
Well, and we got a text message of a family where a mom is trying to figure out how to have a better connection with her adult kids, who she invites over or tries to get together as a family, and no, with mass attempts, nothing's happening. So there's not really being given a chance to even go deeper. What would you say to some situations like that, which I think a lot of people do face?
Yeah. Yeah, so people aren't ready to, like, for example, you know, someone said, I tried to give him a Scott Hahn DVD. I tried to, well, man, as much as all of us love Scott Hahn, and we do, there's no question or doubt about it, they're not ready for Scott Hahn because they don't know Jesus.
Yeah,
that's the thing. We talk about meeting people where they are. What's the starting point here? You know, so you have to really listen to what the person is saying. Well, I don't believe this. Okay, where's that coming from? What is it that they're really asking? Like, what is it that they really have an issue with? Because often the question speaks to something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so in our conversation with them, in our communication with them, we're trying to understand what it is. What is the roadblock that's being put up that's preventing you from having that relationship that God wants with you? You know, I think that's a great place to start. Now, Frank in Connecticut called and said that he puts a prayer card and cash in his grandchildren's birthday cards. It's a great low-pressure way to get them information. And I get that because what that's saying is, because, I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, getting birthday cards from family members and, you know, there was like $5 or $10 in there. Oh, man, this is awesome. But Frank also put the prayer card in there because that lets them know I'm not only thinking about you, your material, but I'm thinking about you spiritually. I'm praying for you. And I want you to be able to share in that experience of prayer. So here's a prayer card because this, you know, this lets you know how much I love you, how much God loves you, and that I'm praying for you and that God is always with you. What a, you know, and to encourage them to pray the prayer that's on the card. You know, maybe something that's attractive to them, that they'll say the prayer on that card, and when they'll stick it in their wallet, in their purse, and in a time of trial, in a time of maybe temptation, in a time of sorrow, they'll pull that card out, say, "Hey, Grandpa, sent me this card, you know, and maybe this will help me now." You see, it's little things like that that often make the biggest difference. And on YouTube, Susan said, "Too many Catholics I know have fallen away. They do not practice the faith. It is just so very sad. I find my generation too often." Yeah, that is sad, that many people have fallen away from the faith. Again, Jesus told the truth in John chapter 6 in the Bread of Life discourse that he was equating himself with the Eucharist, with bread and wine. Like, you know, you have to eat me in order to live. And they walked away from him. I mean, because they not because they didn't understand what he's saying, they couldn't see what Jesus was preparing to do for them. They couldn't see what he was willing to give them, because he just fed them with food, so that made them willing to listen to what else he had to say. But when he spoke the truth in love, they couldn't handle it, you know. And so many people that walk away from the church actually don't even know what the church teaches. Or they don't care what the church teaches, or the church doesn't sound like the culture. That voice of culture is very alluring to so many young people. And we're talking about this today. Loved ones who are away from the church, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your story, your experience. We want to hear about things that you've done, like Frank did, you know, maybe some ideas you have about what you can do to bring, to have conversations to help bring your loved one back to the church. The phone number to call to be with us today is 833-288-3986. Maybe you're a parent that have young kids at home right now. You're doing some things right now to help instill the faith in the lives of your children. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Now, loved ones away from the church, why do they leave? There's a number of reasons, sadly, why our loved ones leave the church. And I'm not placing blame on anyone. There's a number of different factors. One of them is poor catechesis education of the parents. You know, and again, I don't want to necessarily blame the parents, but, you know, you can't give what you don't have. You know, many parents of this generation of kids right now grew up in an era where there was very poor catechesis, where the faith wasn't about building a relationship of love and intimacy. It was more about learning the, you know, here's what you have to learn, and here are the Ten Commandments, and here's this. But how do you apply the things that you're learning about the faith to your everyday life, right? And so that connection hasn't been made. You know, another reason why they leave, they don't know Jesus personally. They know stuff about Jesus. They know events in the life of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. In Hebrew, there's two different words for know. There's da'ath, which is factual knowledge. 2 + 2 = 4. You know, the earth is round. That's factual knowledge. But then there's yalda. Yalda means knowledge that is gained by experience. You have to experience something in order to know that thing. And so many young people have not truly experienced Jesus. They don't know him. And that's in my heart, that's where we have to start to get people to know Jesus personally, right? Because if we don't do that, there's a disconnect between the faith and the everyday lived experience, right? So in their mind, faith is this thing that I have to learn, just like math, English, science, language, arts. It's just I have to go to religion class, and when they leave, and they say, "Well, my friend's transgender, or my friend's same-sex attracted, or my friend looks at porn. What's the big deal? He's a good person. I mean, doesn't God love him?" You know, so they think that the church is preaching hate and divisiveness. I've been accused of that when I talk about transgender or other issues. I get accused of that, but that's not the case at all. They need to understand that, of course. And I start off my talks when I talk about difficult issues like transgender or same-sex attraction. that God, that all of our brothers and sisters, all of them are loved by God, and that we have to love each and every one of our brothers and sisters with the love and the heart of Jesus Christ. If we don't do that, we're not Catholic, period. We have to start with the love of God, that everyone is loved, but we have to separate the person from their behavior, from their lifestyle choice decisions, right? So that, and that's where the thing is, because we live in a culture that says that my decisions determine who I am. No, it doesn't. Your relation with Jesus Christ determines your decisions. That's so when you live out of the heart of God, that determines who you are. And now you're making decisions based living out of Christ's heart, not based on what the culture is saying, right? Very different thing. So again, we're talking about loved ones who are away from the church, why they leave, what can we do to get them back? We'd love to share your experience, your story. 833-288-3986. You're listening to Beacon of Truth, and I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We'd like you to give us a call, just like Mario has done from Staten Island, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. Mario, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon Harold. How are you?
Doing well, my friend. Great to hear from you.
Yes. Well, listen, I have my brother has, you know, fallen away from the sacrament, doesn't really go to church, and his wife doesn't encourage that. So he moved to Florida. But what my mother did that I thought was great is now that he's away, she prays with him the rosary, but not the complete rosary. She does the 10, you know, she goes to, she breaks it up into single decades so that she goes through the whole week. And this has really got him interested. She prays with him, and she breaks it down into the 5 days.
Oh, so let me see if I understand what you're saying so that I make sure it's clear for the listeners. So when your mother prays, she's praying the rosary, not for your brother, she's praying it with your brother, but except instead of praying the whole rosary, she just prays like one decade a day.
That's it, basically. And so,
wow.
You know, he looks forward to that, and he before he goes to work, he does that with my mom, and, you know, it's been like a miracle because, I mean, he hasn't gone back to church yet, but at least he's getting close. So, you know, we always say that Mary is the one who connects us to God, to Jesus. So this is what's happening. Mary is the one through the rosary that's bringing brother, hopefully, and his family, hopefully back to the sacraments. I'm hoping.
Amen. But you see, there's so many beautiful things there, Myra. First of all, trusting in the Blessed Mother. I mean, who better to ask for help than the Mother of Jesus, right? I mean, if you want something to get done, you ask the mom, right? And she's the biggest intercessor we have with her son. And second, she's meeting your brother where he is, not giving him too much. Oh, you got to pray the whole rosary. No, break it up into one, you know, decade a day. You know, and just pray that with him because that's where he is right now. And when his heart is ready, he'll want more. That's a beautiful way to not just keep the prayer life alive, but to really keep that connection going with your brother. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to add my prayers to your prayers and the prayers of your mother. And my next rosary, I also pray for your brother as well. So thank you so much for that call, Myra. That was absolutely beautiful. We're talking about loved ones away from the church on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. The number to call is 833-288-3986. You want to share your story and experience just like Mario did just now, sharing a wonderful experience of how the rosary is using as a tool of evangelization to help bring his brother back to the church. 833-288-3986. On YouTube, Rebecca, who's watching, says, you know, her advice is keep loving them and realize that your actions speak louder than your words. Keeping the door open to communication is helpful. Amen. I absolutely agree. Our actions do speak louder than our words, and we have to share our story and experience of our relationship with Christ. Beautiful. Lynn, also on YouTube, says that two of her sons left the Catholic Church and got rebaptized in a Protestant church. They are young adults that have been married outside the church. I pray for them to return every day. Again, Lynn, do not give up hope. Remember, like I said before, sometimes God writes straight with crooked lines. Sometimes they maybe need to go to that Protestant church to discover a relationship with Jesus and then come back to get the fullness of that relationship in the sacramental life of the church, especially in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, divinity of the living God, which, of course, our Protestant brothers and sisters don't have the fullness of, sadly. And we pray for the day that Jesus prayed for in John's gospel, that they may be one, Father, as you are one and I are one, that we all are one in Christ. Think about what a powerful witness that would be to this world that's broken and hurting in this culture of woke. If all of us got together and we sung off the same sheet of music when it came to our faith in Jesus Christ, what a powerful witness that would be. Again, we're talking about loved ones away from the church. The phone number to call is 833-2883-986. Just like Cecilia has done, calling from San Antonio, Texas, listening on Alexa. How awesome. Thank you, Cecilia. It's great that you're with us today.
Yes, thank you for listening to me. And I have a question. My mother is Catholic, and my mother and father, they're Catholic, and we're greater Catholics. But I can see that my mom she still calls herself Catholic, but she definitely did not guide situations in a Catholic way. Like my sister married for many years and all of a sudden fell apart her marriage. And she's been like, she lives with her and she's been having like boyfriend. And all of a sudden I start hearing, because I live in San Antonio, they live in Mexico. Then I start hearing conversations of, oh, the boyfriend came and left me some flowers. And I'm like, Mom, boyfriend? You know, my sister's still married by the Catholic Church. And she's a woman that prays the rosary, has groups of praying. So, oh, yeah, and your sister was with a boyfriend and saw the husband, the ex-husband. I mean, they are divorced, but they're not being, like finished through church, or, like, the church didn't tell them, you know, now you can remarry again, you know, because it was a solid marriage. They had children. So it's just very hard for me. Had to deal with my mom. It does bring a lot of conflict, because I'm like, I don't want to keep talking, or I don't want to hear this boyfriend or situation. So my brother's bringing a girlfriend living in the house, and then had children, and they never got married. I'm like, Mom, you still pray the rosary every day. Can you just tell them you're growing up? You can leave the house. Just respect the house. You can do whatever with your life. You know, that this is not, we had to honor the house. I feel like the house is our church too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Cecilia. Yeah, I agree. That's one of the hardest situations to deal with, when someone's married in a church and they left and got remarried or in another relationship. Jesus talks about that in Matthew 19, actually in Mark's gospel as well. One of the clearest, most unambiguous teachings of Jesus Christ. If you are married and you get divorced and you marry someone else, it's adultery. You know, I mean, there's no way around that. But yet we have to, you know, we can't approve of sin. But then how do we approach that person to let them know that God still loves them? But here's a situation, you know, the church has to take a look at this and to see, you know, go through the process of a decree of nulli to see, to determine an actual valid marriage take place on the day of the wedding. And that's a difficult conversation to have. I have family members. I'm dealing with that myself. So thank you for sharing that, Cecilia. Now we're going to go to Gabriel, calling from Orlando, Florida, listening on the EWTN app. Gabriel, thanks for being on Beacon of Truth.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi. My question this afternoon is, what typical trait do you see in parents of kids that typically are strong in their faith? They tend to stay in the church. Is there any, you know, one common trait that you see? You mentioned earlier strong catechesis. Anything else by chance?
That's a great question, Gabriel. what I noticed that these parents are completely sold out for Jesus. They're not just talking about, let's go to church on Sunday. Listen, I mean, they're actually living the faith with passion and conviction. You know, they're walking the walk. You know, they're not just going to church. Their marriage is strong. They're witnessing to their children. Their children see how much they love God. The children see how much the parents love each other, and they're really experiencing the love of Christ in and through their parents' relationship and their family life. That, I think, speaks absolute volumes. So great call, Gabriel. Well, tomorrow we're going to talk about the transforming power of the Eucharist. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.